Okay, there we go. Now we're looking good. All right, we are going to go ahead and begin here. All right, hello and welcome to the John Markham Leadership Podcast. Today is March the 8th, and it is about 10:30 on a Wednesday morning here in Santa Clara, California, and I'm doing something new for the first time. I'm recording this podcast while simultaneously doing this Facebook Live for any of our friends and followers on social media who want to watch live and participate through some of the comments. So if you're listening to this and you're watching this live, feel free to shoot me a like or give me a comment as we get into what I want to talk about today. And I want to talk today in this podcast about what I hear and what I see when people quote the scriptures. According to the Bible is a good thing, right? We want to know God's word. We want to apply God's word to our lives. We want to share God's word. Knowing God's word is an important part of how we grow in God's word. James tells us in James chapter 1, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And he goes on and he makes this illustration about a man who looks in the mirror and sees himself, but doesn't change anything about his appearance and just goes on his way. He says, so too is the person who hears the word and by extension knows the word, but doesn't live the word. Here's the thing for me. And because of some of the circles that I've been in, because I've been in Bible college, because I have been in some circles with some really intelligent people and people who've studied the God's word, studied the scriptures, I've been exposed to a lot of people who know the word really well. I've been around a lot of people who could quote the Bible from memory really easily, and many people consider me to be a person that knows the scriptures offhand very naturally. And that's come with years of reading the Bible, preparing messages, preaching the Bible, and so that's not a surprise that people say that. I mean, I would hope so. I mean, good grief, I've been a pastor now for 14 years. You'd like to think I know the Bible to some extent if I'm doing my job at all. But I've just come to this place in my life where I want something deeper than just somebody who knows the Bible in their head and who can quote the scriptures on command to me. I'm really just not impressed anymore with Christians who can quote scripture from memory every time that they open their mouth. I just want to be real, a parrot can do that. We can train certain animals with very basic vocal cord skills to quote things back at us, to quote scriptures. I feel like the Bible is really easy to quote, but it's very, very complicated to live. And so I've just got this place where I'm just not as impressed with people who can quote the Bible at me. And along those lines, I guess what I would say is this. I am impressed with the one who can give generously. I am impressed with a person who loves selflessly, who endures faithfully, who controls their anger, who speaks life in dark circumstances. That impresses me. I'm impressed by the woman who can forgive her childhood abuser for her own well-being, for her own healing, and who can make a decision that this abuse is going to stop with me, that I'm the last person that this is going to affect in my family. That impresses me. I'm impressed by the grandma who serves alongside her adult children in church. I'm impressed with the father who prays with his kids. That impresses me. I'm impressed with a lot of things far above someone who just knows the Bible and can quote it at will. I've really just come to this place where I've decided, and in my life, just as I've processed this, that we don't need more walking Bible encyclopedias nearly as much as we need living, breathing embodiments of the scriptures. And so, yeah, please learn the Bible, learn the word, memorize it, but do something more than that. Learn its context, but also let it get past your eyes and your brain and let it get down into your heart and in your hands and in your feet. Go hug a homeless dude and feed him lunch. Go minister to the hurting. Go do something. Be something because of the scriptures. Not just because you know it and can recite it, but because you live it and it lives in you. The Bible tells us that we are to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And I think that that means more than just we know the Bible. It means that we're living it. And the idea of being a living sacrifice was like an oxymoron in the context, because the Jewish people would have been familiar with the concept of a sacrifice because of their Old Testament habits of offering a sacrifice to God in worship at the temple. But Paul tells us in Romans 12 to be living sacrifices. In other words, get up off the altar. Don't just quote the scriptures. Go and be the change that Jesus has called us to be. Go and be the scriptures in your community. Get it down into your hands and your feet. In short, what I'm saying is, don't just quote God's word at me with your mouth. Show me with your life. Embody it. And be the scriptures. Don't just quote the scriptures. You got to know the word to obey the word. So there is relationship. But I feel like too many people substitute discipleship for knowledge. You've got to know the word to obey the word, but knowing the Bible doesn't mean that you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. You can be a student without being a disciple. I had a life group over at my house last night. We were getting into this, beginning into this really exciting new adventure that we're going to be doing and how we're approaching our small groups at Life City Church. And one of the things that I talked about as we were getting into this and talking about what this was going to mean for us is that this particular thing that we're doing, and I'll maybe share more about it after we've had a chance to try it out a little bit more, but it really gets you doing the things that it means to be a disciple. It gets you doing those things together. And so we're studying the Word on our own, but then we're doing the Word together, which I think is really what discipleship should be all about in the first place. And the way I described it with our group as we were talking about this was that it's almost like talking about fishing. You can read books on fishing, you can watch videos on fishing, you can learn how to tie all the knots, and you can know all the tricks about where to catch certain fish and what kind of bait certain fish bite on and what kind of waters to find those fish in. And you can know everything there is to know about fishing. But then there comes this place and this time where you gotta make a decision. Am I gonna get out on a boat and go out into the water? Am I gonna actually fish and do the things that I've been talking about and I've learned so much about? I think that churches have this temptation of being full of a bunch of people who've read a lot about fishing and can tie a lot of great knots, but they've never gotten off in the water and they've never actually cast a line and drawn a fish and actually done the work of fishing for men. And that's what Jesus has called us to do, to be fishers of men. And there's a lot of other ways that we can apply this to our life and how we live and how we are generous and how we serve others and how we forgive and how we manage our anger and our time and our own well-being and our relationship with God. But we can talk about it, we can learn a lot about it without actually doing it, without actually being disciples. And that's not what discipleship is. Discipleship means there's a direct connection between discipleship, being a disciple, and the word discipline. It takes discipline to do the things. That's what Jesus said in the Great Commission, right? Go into all the world and make disciples. And we hear them, we go, oh, make disciples. And we automatically connect that with words that we've transformed into meaning things that Jesus didn't mean. Like you know, sit in a classroom, we're going to teach you a lot of stuff, but we're not actually going to give you an opportunity to do those things. At least that's the temptation a lot of times. Go and make disciples. What was the rest of what he said? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe or to do all of the things that I've commanded you to do. And so there's this relationship that we oftentimes lose in the context of hearing the word and being able to quote the word, but then a whole other level about going out and actually doing the word. You can talk about fishing, you can learn about fishing without actually getting on a boat. But at some point you need to make a decision, do I want to actually go and fish? And the same is true of your spiritual life, of your personal growth and discipleship. You have to come to this place where you decide, do I want to learn more about God, or do I want to experience God at work in my life? Do I want to learn more about the scriptures, or do I want to actually obey the scriptures that I have learned up to this point? And so I say that to say, it sounds like I'm like knocking, like learning the scriptures, and I'm really not. I want you to learn God's word. I want you to memorize it. I want you to embody it, though. I want you to take it to the next level. You know, sometimes Christians get a bad reputation, at least here in the United States, of being called Bible thumpers. And And it's kind of funny how that's kind of turned into, at least within certain Christian camps, to be a positive thing, like a badge of honor. And it really isn't, at least not the way that they're saying it. They're really saying it's kind of a cut down, because what they're saying is you're beating people over the head with the Bible, and the scriptures were never intended to be a club that you beat people over the head with. They were intended to be more like a mirror that you reflect in and you observe yourself in, and you change the way you live accordingly. And we believe, according to Hebrews 4:12, that the scriptures are alive and powerful, and they speak to us, and they cut down to the soul and spirit. And so it's not just a passive book that you have this ability to master and quote. It's something that you need to allow to have permission to master you and to have control over your life and to dictate your perspective and your thoughts and your actions. And so, not Bible thumpers, Bible livers. Not liver like organs, liver like one who lives the Bible. Probably a bad choice of words, but maybe you get what I'm saying. We need people who live the Bible. We need to apply it to our lives, not just try to apply it to other people's lives. I feel like that's the temptation, right? To look at it and stick it on someone else's life, but not live it ourselves. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and he's dealing with this tension that the church in Corinth was dealing with, because some people were eating meat offered to idols, and that's not something that good Christians should do. At least that's what some people thought. Meanwhile, some people thought, what's the big deal? We know those gods aren't real. There's only one true God. We worship him, but this meat's on discount, so I'm going to hook that up. And so Paul was wrestling with those who are dealing with this tension and understand that it's just meat and it's at a cheap rate. Let's just take advantage of it and let's thank God for it and enjoy it. Meanwhile, some people were offended by it because it was causing them to stumble back into a lifestyle or to think back about a life that God saved them from. And while some were wrestling with these intellectual arguments, they were missing the bigger principle. And so Paul calls them out on that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, what the Apostle Paul says is this. He says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Those who think they know something don't know what they ought to know." And I love that. I feel like what Paul's really telling us is that just because you know truth doesn't mean that you're living it and applying it. And hey, just while we're on the Facebook Live, I just want to shout out to Joseph Horta. Hey, thanks, brother. Appreciate you saying hi and stopping in while we're recording this. God bless you too, my friend. So there's just a little bit of insight, and I just want to close, I guess, with one last thought. I'm not bilingual. I wish I was. I'm working on it, actually. I'm trying to finish what I know of learning Spanish. Our church regularly participates in a missions trip to Mexico, working with an orphanage and a church plant that we're going to be partnering with here soon outside Tijuana, Mexico. And in the context of that, I bring all that up just to say that I'm trying to finish learning Spanish and being fully bilingual with that. And along those lines, they have a word for no. They have two words, actually, for the verb no, K-N-O-W. We just say no, like I know this, I know that, and it means a lot of things. But they use the word saber and conocer. And I bring this up because it applies to this conversation. Saber means to know something, like to know information. Like, I know your phone number, or I know your address, or I know that 2 + 2 = 4. I know informationally. Conocer, rather, so saber means to know informationally, but conocer means to know by relationship, to know experientially. So you wouldn't say, I know saber, I know my friend Joseph. You would say, conozco, you know, conozco, I know Joseph, you know, he's my friend, I know him personally. One is about information and knowing facts, the other is about knowing relationally and having a connection. I think that a lot of people know the Bible saber. They know the Bible informationally, but they don't know the Bible conocer. They don't know it by relationship. They don't know it by doing it, by having a relationship, a connection with it past the informational level. So this is going to be a little bit of a short podcast, but just in closing, my challenge to you is this. Don't just know the word saber. Know the word, experience the word conocer. Have a relationship with God's word. Get your hands dirty with the gospel. Get involved in people's lives. Love people like Jesus. Don't just have knowledge that puffs up, but love that builds up. Go and show somebody the word of God by the way you live and relate and love. Don't just quote it at them and expect it to make a difference. Live it and watch it transform not only their life, but your life as well. This has been the John Markham Leadership Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, those of you who are on Facebook Live, as well as those of you who are listening to this via our podcast. If you're watching on Facebook Live or you're watching this after the fact, you can check out the podcast at our website, johnmarkham.org. You can also look up the John Markham Leadership Podcast at Google Play, as well as in the iTunes podcast and the iTunes store on the podcast lists. Also, just want to mention, you can follow me on social media at John Markham here on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'd love to connect with you there in any ways that I can. Of course, now that I'm wrapping this up, I see all my friends kind of chiming in here and joining in. Thank you, Andrew and Robert. Appreciate you guys. God bless each of you. Love you guys. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you have an awesome week. Go and live the Word of God as you get involved in people's lives this week. And also want to mention on my website, johnmarkham.org, there is a tab, feedback. If you want to give me a little bit of feedback on this podcast, or give me a topic you want to hear me address, or a question that you're wondering, shoot me a question or shoot me some feedback through that form, and I'll be happy to either answer that through a blog post or maybe in a future podcast like I'm doing here today. And if I get some good response, then maybe we'll do another live recording on Facebook Live for our podcast as well. Till next time, thank you for listening, and God bless.